Friday, everybody. It is the Information's 411, your weekly look at the stories that we published and information about how it all came together. My name is Tom Dotan. I host this podcast, also a reporter here at the Information. It feels like the only thing we can talk about these days is coronavirus. It's on everybody's minds. It almost, to the exclusion of anything else happening in the business world and beyond. And so we brought in Kate Clark, who wrote a very good story about how VCs are communicating with their portfolio companies about what to do in loving the time of coronavirus. Basically, the message to them is, the VC's message to their companies is, you've got to batten down the hatches. You have to make sure that you are prepared for a major economic downturn, because we don't know when this thing is going to end, and we don't know the true economic impact of it. And so if you don't have your finances lined, if you don't have your business plan ready to withstand what could very well be a recession, then you're really in for it. And so Kate kind of breaks down that section of things. I do want to say, by the way, outside of just this topic, Wayne Ma, one of our reporters here, wrote a really great story that had nothing to do with the coronavirus, really. It was about Apple's long-term efforts to try to build a supply chain in India and why that has continued to fail. Again, it is sort of tough to break through the news in a climate like this, but if you want to read a non-coronavirus story, you should definitely read that one, because it was an excellent piece. That's it. That's all we're talking about today, but it's obviously a lot to digest, so without further ado, let's just get to my conversation with Kate Clark. So, Kate, it feels like really the only thing we can talk about now is coronavirus. It's on everyone's minds. It's affecting all aspects of business and communication and meetups. And so your story looked at what it means for VCs and their portfolio companies and how they're managing things during this period. I mean, I guess the first thing to look into is fundraising, right? Mm-hmm. Like what are VCs telling their companies about their options when it comes to raising money in the middle of this, you know, panic and pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, I think if there were people who weren't really as concerned with how coronavirus and you know, its impacts on the economy would impact venture capital, I think they're probably listening now that Sequoia has spoken up.
Right. So let's talk about that, I guess, yeah, before we get into your story then. So Sequoia put out a pretty lengthy and public post saying this is what we communicated to our startups, mm-hmm, about coronavirus.
Right. They called it the black swan of 2020.
Right. Something. Which means what exactly? That it's just like an unexpected.
Right. That it's a very unexpected event that will have dire consequences, which seems to be the case. So that was a fair representation of what coronavirus means for a VC. But basically, you know, they told their companies like, hey, ask yourselves these important questions. Ask yourselves, do you have enough runway? Mm-hmm. You know, what will you do if your business tanks for a few months? Do you need to cut back on staff? Kind of suggesting belt tightening measures, but to an extreme.
Right.
And, you know, I think people in venture capital, what Sequoia says goes.
Sure. One of the most successful and prolific and powerful.
And if they're concerned, then everyone probably needs to be. So that created quite a rippling effect online, and people were really talking about the impacts. But that was right before we put out the story. So, so we mentioned, you know, Sequoia is doing this. A lot of people who are fundraising have for weeks now been pretty aware of how this may impact them, because their limited partners are not picking up their phone calls, or, you know, maybe even as extreme as a VC telling one of their companies like, hey, I can't wire you that money because we're worried about what's to come.
Right, right. It's funny. It's all concerns about potential impact. Nothing is being felt right now, but it's, you know, belt tightening, or like you say, or preemptive measures in order that should things really go south, you're not going to get fucked.
Yeah, I think it'll be some time before we really know. I think a lot of the VCs I spoke to said they thought, you know, Q2 is when we'll really realize the impacts, because after Q1 earnings calls, when people sort of roll back on, I guess, budgets for the year and guidance, and then we'll have more of an idea. I think, you know, maybe 1 to 2 months from now, you may start hearing stories of more tangible instances of like, I couldn't raise a round, or my fund didn't close because, you know, my LPs across Asia were unable to make those commitments. So I think right now the story is sort of companies being like, we're bracing for dark times, like we're bracing for winter or whatever
it
may be.
But right. And it's funny. I mean, this comes up from time to time. I can't count the number of times that I've done stories in the past with the team here about winter is coming, RIP good times, because we have been in this incredible bull market for startups for
a decade.
God knows how. Yeah, like a decade, right? I mean, it's just the money keeps flowing. The valuations keep going up. And even something like a SoftBank, you know, deflation doesn't really derail things. But does it feel different this time?
Yeah, I think like once per year I do the story that's like VCs brace for downturn, and it's really anecdotal, and it's investors who are like, I've seen it happen and these are the signs, it's going to happen.
Right.
But like this really was a black swan event where it came out of nowhere and no one expected it. And I mean, there's outside forces, literal virus that's spreading, that's causing it. It's not like, oh, it feels like things are changing. It's like this is
we can look to the news. There are, you know, actual quarantines happening and, you know, a small number of people dying, and you're like, okay, this is really something.
Right. I think it's similar. It seems like we are going to, there will be, you know, global economic effects of the coronavirus that will be very similar to the 2008 financial crisis. And a lot of the people that I spoke to for that story had similar responses that were like, you know, we're worried that LPs will have to cut back on venture capital commitments because the public markets will tank. And when that happens, they have to cut back. And so those are a lot of things that happened during the last financial crisis. And that's kind of the only reference point that we have, because we've never had like an outbreak like this.
So, I mean, what the measures that VCs are communicating to their companies, they're saying not necessarily go lay people off now, but don't go out and hire a bunch of people. If your business plan meant you should go out and double your engineering staff the next couple of months, maybe don't do that.
Yeah, I think it's things like that. And I think it's honestly just telling them, hey, like, sit down and think about what you're going to do. Like, you need to sit down and make a plan. And one of the firms I wrote about, Madrona, which is a Seattle fund, you know, they're obviously at the epicenter of the outbreak right
in
now
the US,
in Seattle. So they were one of the first, I think, to really jump into action. So they started this daily conference call for all 80 of their companies. So one person or two people from each company gets on the phone every day and they talk through not only, you know, what's the CDC saying, but like, what is Facebook doing? What's Google doing? What are, you know, Coinbase and Stripe and some of these bigger startups doing? And so how can they copy them and kind of figure it out? Because no one knows what they're doing.
Right. Right. So. Yeah. I mean, look, we're part of this too, right? I mean, there's not as many. There's probably half the number of people in the office today in San Francisco, probably, and in our other offices. And that's, you know, an abundance of caution. And the fact that in San Francisco, a lot of people are working remotely right now.
And I mean, we're probably unlikely to be coming into work like in a week from now.
Yeah.
Just because if it spreads across the city like it is in Seattle.
Sure. Like, I mean, look, my wife's a teacher and they have said, you know, one of the schools, high school in San Francisco, is closed right now. And, you know, it wouldn't be surprising. We should say we're all saying this speculative, that we don't know.
Right.
And this is being recorded on Friday afternoon. How much, you know, if you look, you know, across the globe in China where this all started, they are giving indications that their economy is coming back online. Obviously, there's an element of PR, I imagine, to that, and them wanting to say, we've got it handled, you know, we've mitigated the risk. There's not as many new cases there used to be, and we're starting to bring things back. Is that resonating at all with companies? Are people looking and saying like, okay, China comes back online and the Apple and all the other supply chains come online, and you know, you can start to see, you know, like the end of the light at the end of the tunnel?
I think everyone is a little concerned about like misinformation spreading online and being kind of uncertain about what's really going on in China and where the virus sort of started. I think that, I mean, the US economy is going to have its own issues if there's a major outbreak across the country. And I mean, I don't know as much about like how any of that will work, but my guess is like we're going to be kind of going through a long process of the economy recovering, because the worst is yet to come. And also, you know, they've said that the virus may die out in the summer and come back worse in the fall, so we may kind of see the whole thing happen again.
So we talked a lot about the companies and things like that, but for VCs themselves, I mean, are you hearing that they are putting off raising new funds and their kind of plans to, you know, put together the newest tranche of LP money is now kind of pushed off for some time? Or how is it affecting what they do specifically?
There's a few things. Like, for one, firms like Sequoia or Kleiner Perkins are like, you know, some of these established funds don't really have to worry so much because they are backed by endowments like Stanford University, who kind of has a 10-year outlook and is less concerned, even in amid a pandemic, they're not going to pull out. But what's interesting is actually a lot of venture capitalists, of course, are not happy there's an outbreak, but will tell you that the best companies are built in downturns, and they'll reference Uber and Airbnb as companies that were built in like 2009.
Sure.
And I, you know, they say there's a certain hustle associated with an entrepreneur who can build a company during a downturn. I think today is a lot different than 2009, and there are a lot of other ways to raise capital, and you know, because the whole argument is like they can be really scrappy with less money. But there's even in the face of a downturn, there's a lot of money sloshing around. So I actually don't think that's necessarily an accurate comparison.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then I guess the obvious question is, are you starting to see things are so unclear right now. It's hard to plan too far ahead. But what are the next steps that businesses are going to have to take beyond just kind of battening down the hatches and not hiring more people?
I think a lot of companies that are really capital intensive and that rely on VC and have been relying on it, I think right now, probably this week, you saw a lot of them calling up their investors saying, you know, in panic, asking like, you know, can I close another round really fast? Can I get like an extension? Probably the best thing to do is to make those calls and to sort of like preemptively raise, because if you need money in 2 months, you're not probably going to be able to get it.
Yeah. And from the optimistic standpoint, what are you hearing from people in that world?
I think the only optimistic takes are what I mentioned about there being good companies built, and also companies like food delivery and video conferencing software really like benefiting from this, and particularly remote work. I mean, there has long been interest in that in venture capital. So I think we're going to see a doubling down on remote, and that's good. That's the future.
Yeah. And it's interesting too. I mean, you talk about businesses being built in a recession. It could be because we've written a lot about remote work here and in other stories. I mean, this could maybe be, once we pull through all of this madness, a real turning point for that industry. And you start to see it become not just a, you know, kind of quirk that certain companies are adopting, but like a real commonplace and almost standard way of commuting.
I do think there'll be a shift. And I mean, you know, we reported today that like Y Combinator has moved its accelerator online. It has, you know, in light of coronavirus. And I think those are changes that may end up being permanent, because, you know, some of these things can be done online and don't necessarily need to be done in person.
Yeah, man, fascinating stuff. And this goes to show you that you think you kind of know what a year is going to look like and what stories are going to play off, and then something like this comes completely out of the blue to change everything and basically dictate the narrative for business for the whole year. So all right, well, great work, Kate. Thanks for joining.
Thanks.